It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. Man, we got a lot going on today and tomorrow. Just want to let you know that tomorrow, Brent Marks is going to join us. The winner of the 39th annual Kings Royal is going to join us on the show tomorrow. And we're going to get Sean from up at Husetts. Man, let me tell you something about the announcer up there at Husetts. He is one of the very best. Austin, have you listened to much of their broadcast up there? He does an excellent job, doesn't he?
He is. He, you know, never knew who he was until I heard him. I didn't know what to think about him when I kind of first heard him announce, and he's kind of grown on me. I think he is one of the best weekly announcers we have in sprint car racing.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. And I also think that, I think what Todd Quaring has done up there is he's hired some quality people to work, because the pit reporter up there is pretty good as well. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head.
I think it's Austin Lloyd.
Austin Lloyd. He's pretty good too, isn't he?
They got a good team. Yeah. And it's to get a good team together to do a broadcast like that at the local level is kind of hard to do, I would feel like. And, Dirt Vision and Inquiring and Husetts Speedway have done a great job of making sure that they get a good team together. I mean, we see it at Knoxville, we see it with the Outlaws, and we see it at Husetts. And anytime you can get a good broadcast team together, it makes for a good experience for the fan, and that's what you want. You want to entertain them, and you don't want to leave anything on the table, and that's what I feel like, you know, Husetts and Dirt Vision is doing.
Are you looking forward to tonight's Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series race at Husetts tonight? I'm thinking it's going to be a pretty damn good race. What do you think?
Yes. I'm not sure how many laps the feature will be. I'm assuming it's probably, 50 or so. So it'll be interesting to see how the late models do at Husetts with just the way the track surface has been. We know it's kind of known for rubber and such like that on these big races. But maybe the tire compounds are different with late models than sprint cars, and maybe they don't lay as much rubber as our sprint car tires do, or maybe the surface is just better for late model racing. I don't know. We'll find out. But, yeah, I think it's going to be very good no matter what it is. I mean, anytime you can put
a bull ring.
Yeah, Lucas Oil late models on a surface and a track like Husetts, it's going to be a heck of a show.
Right. I'm looking around. I can't find how many laps that race is for some reason. But I'm looking forward to it tonight. You know, it seems like that when we watch the Lucas Oil 8 Model Dirt Series, the better races are on the smaller tracks. Would you agree with me on that?
I
know you're a half-mile guy. I get it. But do you think that they perform better on a short track than they do on a big track, or are you the opposite of that? You can disagree with me.
It's a 40-lap feature.
Right.
Pays $10,000 to win. But back to that, I mean,
it's a 40-lap feature?
It's 40 laps.
All right.
There are some tracks that put on good half-mile racing. I think Eldora puts on really good racing.
Sure.
I think Knoxville does too. I-70, maybe not just because of the way the track's laid out and the surface. I mean, they don't have a whole lot of laps there, so they don't have a good baseline of prep, but... I think we have good half miles and bad ones, and same with quarter miles and short tracks like that. We have good ones and bad ones. So there's less bad ones on short tracks. But I think it's just kind of circumstantial of what the track's like and what the area is like.
I'm gonna give I-70 a little more credit than you did just there, and I'm gonna say that the best race that I've seen out at I-70 Speedway to date is the late model race. I've been out there for a few of their specials, USAC, the National Tour. It was fun watching you run up there in the top 10. That was great. That made the night exciting for me. But the best race that I've seen so far there, and I think Kirk Elliott would probably agree with me that that the best race so far to date has been the late model race that was out there.
No, I agree with you too.
Yeah.
But there's still, I mean, I think the race could have been maybe a little bit better. But, I mean, they have, what, race number 5 or 6 at the track?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 8. Well, I forgot about the 305 Nationals. But,
right.
You know, they don't
Yawn.
Have a, they don't have a lot of laps on that track, and they don't have a lot of experience. They're not prepping it every week,
right.
Knowing what it needs and what it doesn't need to make good racing. And I think it'll get better in the future. But, you know, but yeah, I have to agree that the out of the special events that they've had there this year and years past, that's probably the best one.
Well, I would say that Tommy Estes, who's running the racetrack out there, he's probably just now starting to learn the dirt, right? I mean, he's just starting to figure out what it takes to make the track a little bit better, I would think.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, look at the Outlaw and the All-Star races last year. They weren't really wide, and there wasn't a whole lot of
right.
of slick patches on the track, and we saw that this year at the National Tour and the Lucas Oil Series. They had, you know, it was, you know, a little wider. I was about halfway up, and it was
narrow,
it was,
coming off a 4.
Yeah, yeah, that's just the way it's going to be for a while. At least that just how with a dog leg on the back stretch, it opens your entry up so much into 3 that you just square it up off of 3 and get a straight run down off a 4, and it makes your straightaway even longer. And that's just, we're better off going faster in a straight line than we are turning, right?
Do you think they made a mistake putting the dog leg in on the back straightaway to make the entry that way? The old racetrack had that dog leg going down the back straightaway. Do you think the new track should have had that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean,
why do you say?
It's just how the track is. I mean, if you're going to, I would have, if they weren't going to leave the straightaways in the same spot,
mm-hmm.
then I would have taken it out. But they left the straightaways in the same spot, and they just brought the corners in. It's going to cost them more money and more work, I would think,
mm-hmm.
to cut the straightaways in and backfill with all dirt to make it straight. So, yeah, I mean, it's a characteristic not a lot of tracks have.
Right, right. Yeah, well, you know, the one thing that I saw them do a little bit different out at I-70 when the Lucas Oil 8 Mile Series was out there was they intentionally rolled the track in high, right? I mean, when all the cars were done after hot laps, they put them all in the infield, and before they let them out of the racetrack, they rolled them around and got the top rolled in a little bit more. And then when they watered the track right before the A main, they went out and they kind of rolled it in with some trucks again and made the push the cushion up a little bit. I think that was a pretty good play on their part, to be honest with you. I think that's they need to do more of that. Work it in a little bit higher and roll it in a little bit more up at the top side, more than worrying about the bottom. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, they found that at the late model race, and
yeah.
That just goes back to, you know, them not having a whole lot of experience with dirt and knowing what it needs to put on a good race. And, you know, they found that, and now they're going to use it in the future, and the races from this point going forward will be like that. So, like I said, it's unfortunate that they need that they only race, you know, once a month or every two or so months. I mean, they're just a special track. So we're not having a weekly Friday or Saturday night, you know, series there, and you're just not spending, 20 weeks, 25 weeks of the year, getting experience on it.
Right. What kind of race do you think we'll see tonight up there? Do you think that we'll get a couple grooves? Do you think hopefully they're not going to be putting around on the bottom? That's the worst thing.
No, it'll get wide. It'll probably be, it'll probably be to the middles of the top, just because of what the banking is there and how much momentum they can carry on the top.
Right.
And I'm not sure, you know, if they're going to race like the sprint cars do, where they can get, you know, good run off the bottom. I'm not sure. I'll see it. I could see it being, you know, kind of middle to the top dominant.
Yeah. Well, you just never know, really, right, on these little tracks. And as you said, that track has taken rubber a time or two in the past. Let's hope it doesn't do that tonight. And what do you think the car count will be up there? You know, it's kind of funny, isn't it? When we saw how many cars was at Lucas Oil Speedway this weekend? Do we know the number on those?
About 24, 25.
How many?
I think 33.
33 cars up there at Lucas Oil Speedway. And we only had 24 at I-70 Speedway. What do you think the car count's going to be up at Huset's this?
I think it's going to be about...
That could be about 35, don't you?
Yeah, 35 to 40. You'll have a lot of guys that plan on running at, you know, I-80 Thursday that'll kind of be up in that area. Mm-hmm. And decide maybe just to make the trick up to Huset's tonight, take off tomorrow, and then head back down to I-80. So, I mean, I bet you might pull some guys you didn't see this past weekend in Missouri. I'm going to say anywhere from about 30 to 40.
Yeah. Johnny Scott had a pretty big weekend down there at Lucas Oil Speedway, picked up the win at the Diamond Nationals, the biggest win of his career. A guy that really started cutting his teeth in modifieds in the beginning, right?
Yeah, he was on the USMTS tour for countless years, and he had some success, and he was a contender every night, but he really wasn't lighting the world on fire, and he made the kind of surprising jump to late model racing and struggled for quite some time. And
did you think that was a mistake when he made that move?
No. I mean, it's
they've got the money, right?
Whatever you want to do, really. It's just... Yeah. It's tough no matter what you race, and if it's where you want to go, might as well go out there and get laps now, and hopefully you're competitive, you know, years down the road. And I think that's exactly what he did. He spent quite a few years just, you know, learning and getting experience, and, you know, the right opportunity, you know, presented itself at Lucas Oil, where he has a ton of laps, you know, in the modified that, you know, he came in there and everything was kind of clicking right, and, you know, he was able to pick up a pretty big one.
Right. That was a big win because of the people that he outrun. If you think about the guys that run second and third, Jimmy Owens was second, B Shep was third. When you outrun those two kind of guys, that's got to give you a boost of confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely think so. And if he hasn't had a ton of late model wins, and to pick up a $15,000 to win, show at Lucas Oil, it's one of the crown jewels down there. And to beat guys like that, it's definitely a confidence booster, and just, you know, reinsures that you made the right choice to grinding the years out on the road to get to this point.
Yeah. I'm trying to look here. Johnny Scott is, I don't think he's running full-time with the Lucas Oil ASES National Tour because he's 18th in points, right? I don't think he's ran.
ASES?
Did I say ASES? Yes. I'm so used to saying that, but the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series, he's 18th in points. I don't think he's running full time with anybody.
No, I think he's like, you know, majority of the people out there that are just going to, do an outlaw schedule and race for money when they can.
Let me ask you this, Austin. Do you think with all the money that's being spread around in late model racing right now, do you think that's good or bad? Now, it's good for the teams, right? Because they're racing for more money. But is it bad for the fans because they don't know who's going to show up at some of these races? Do you think there's a kind of a mixed bag of good and bad there a little bit?
I'm not sure that.
I mean, you don't know. It's just like the other night out at I-70, Jonathan Davenport wasn't there. Mike Mahler wasn't there. I can't remember. There was another big name driver that wasn't there that night as well. When you show up and you want to watch the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series, do you feel like you want to see all the stars, or are you disappointed when you show up and maybe a few of those guys aren't there?
It's you associate those guys years past with that series, and that's what they're known for. And and then making the decision to leave, I mean, it might pull some fans away from going to that event because their driver might not be there. But still, I mean, they don't come to this area very often, once or twice, three or four times a year maybe. I think it would be a fan's lost opportunity to not go and miss out on the drivers that still compete with that series. I mean, if you don't go and support it, and the drivers that, you know, have left the drivers to support it, and they don't go, it's gonna fail, right?
So,
it's definitely maybe not the best for series or tracks, having those drivers take a step away. But I think it also gives the same opportunity to drivers that maybe not don't have a big name on the tour to get a big name and become one of those drivers.
Yeah. But when you go to watch a late model race, you want to see some guys like Dennis Erb, who's leading the World of Outlaw points right now over Max Blair. And then you think about some of the guys that are running over there, Tim McCready, B. Shep, Ricky Thornton. I'm going to say it. I think the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series has the better of the two groups, don't you think?
Yes, they have for the past, I think, couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you think McCready, do you think he's got three wins? B. Shep's got six. But B. Shep is second in points right now. He's about 100 points out of the lead. Do you think it's Tim McCready's going to win the championship again this year?
I mean, possibility. Yeah. But we're in July.
Yeah.
And the season
it's early.
End, and the season doesn't
early.
End until October-ish, I think. So still a long ways to go. And, you know, the only thing that's helping McCready right now is that he's being, you know, consistent in the top 10. You know, Brandon Shepherd was on his way to a win at I-70 and blew up. And then, you know, he might go out and win one or two races and then have a bad night and not finish or finish at the back or whatever. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's not as consistent as we've seen Brandon Shepherd in the past couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, you can't not, you know, pick Tim McCready to be a,
right.
you know, a favorite to win the championship. It's hard not to pick against the guy that just won last year and has a chance to go back-to-back with it.
And Alan, he just reminded me that Johnny Scott's leading the MLRA points right now. Do you think that – is it worth it to him to bail out of the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series and go run MLRA and try to win that championship? Would it be worth it to him, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that's where he's already committed to. I don't think he's committed to the Lucas Oil Series full-time. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little more regional base. I think the pay's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a decent points fund from what I believe I understand. So, and it's they're not tracking you across the country, and he can still race it. I mean, they're not short on money by no means, but it's without spending maybe a ton of money to go do it.
I'm trying to look up the late model work. What the point situation is right there right now. You're faster with your thumbs than I am, Austin, so maybe you should look that up for me because you're so much better than that. Oh, here we go. All right, so let's take a look at the points over at MLRA and the points right now. I'm sorry for the dead air. Johnny Scott has a 30-point lead over Chad Simpson right now. So, I don't know. You know, me personally, if I was a late model racer, I think I would just be run an outlaw schedule and just run where all the big money races are. Whatever pays the most to start, whatever pays the most to win, I think that's what I would do.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing. You know, a lot of the, mm-hmm. the teams that the big powerhouse teams, like a Jonathan Davenport or Mike Marler or you know, teams in that caliber are doing. It's
right.
just it doesn't make sense to commit, and when if you commit to a series, you can't go compete against it or go somewhere else. So, you know, would you rather make a little money here and be committed to it, or not commit to anything and go make a ton of money?
Right, right. Well, I don't know. It's such a crazy world that we live in right now with the late model series. You know, you just look at XR, you look at what the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series is doing, the World of Outlaws is doing. There's so many options, so many big money races. It would be dizzy for me. It would make me dizzy, to be honest with you, trying to pick out. If you were going to run an outlaw schedule, it would be very difficult, wouldn't it, to kind of schedule what races you want to go to, wouldn't you think?
No.
It wouldn't?
It's simple as, do I want to go here? Does it make sense for me to go to this track? That's 200 miles away for 5,000 to win.
Right.
Does it make sense for me to go to this track, you know, 100 miles away for 10,000 to win? I mean, it might seem like it's a handful to digest and plan around, but it's just, It's as simple as where can I make the most money and spend the least amount of money getting there.
Right, right. Well, you got a point there for sure, especially with the cost of traveling nowadays, right? But, you know, some of the teams that are running at that level, they got big budgets, right? They're not going to worry about pulling an extra 400 or 500 miles, probably, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have a budget that can absorb, you know, the inflation of everything right now. But, you know, at some point that money it will run out and they will need it at some point, and you just got to be smart with it. You know, it's not getting any cheaper day by day. So, yeah, you just can't go, you know, gamble all the way at one spot. You can gamble it away at little sections, but you still got to be conservative with it.
Right. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Sean from up at Huset's. He's going to visit with us here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about tonight's action, and we'll talk more about Huset's and what's going on up there as well, how they're recovering from the storm damage they had up there. We'll talk about some of the weekly racing that we've been watching up there as well. So stay tuned for more of Mostly Motorsports right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. It's brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, and joining us now on the show is Sean Neistat, the voice of Husetts. And let me just say, Sean, I'm not trying to blow a bunch of smoke here, but I've been watching the broadcast up at Husetts here lately. And let me tell you something, bud. You're just about as good as they get when it comes to the voice of Husetts Speedway.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind. I'm lucky I work at a really, really great racetrack that always has good racing and makes my job pretty easy at the end of the night to make it sound like all the racing's been great, because,
right.
You know, that's not always the case. But I'm lucky. I'm surrounded by a great team. We've got an awesome pit reporter with Austin Lloyd, who really Rick. Enhances the show, and yeah. and the whole crew with Dirt Vision on our broadcast. It's really an awesome team up here.
Before we get into what's going on up at Husetts, give me a little background. Are you a radio guy? Have you been in radio for a while?
I was in radio for 4 years in my college time, which is like forever ago.
Yeah.
I'm staring down the barrel of 40 here this summer, so that's been feels like a couple lifetimes ago. I did TV for 10 years. I was a news reporter here locally in Sioux Falls. Was a news anchor the second half of my career in TV, and then I do communications now for a health system up here in South Dakota. So a little bit of broadcast in my background, but I started announcing racing the summer right after I graduated high school. A little track called Lake County Speedway that's no longer with us up in Madison, South Dakota. And a couple years later, I joined Mark Tassler in the booth at Husetts, and also did track in Rock Rapids, Iowa. When Madison, South Dakota's racetrack closed, I moved over to Jackson, Minnesota. So I've been around a little bit, I think.
Wow. See, I didn't realize all that. That's yeah. pretty impressive resume going on right there. So you've been around this sport for a long time. And tonight, the Lucas Oil 8 Model Dirt Series is going to be up at Husetts. Are you looking forward to that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah. there's not a lot of firsts, I can say, around our area. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got some really great established racetracks and more than a 60-year history of Husetts Speedway. But tonight is a first. Not only have we never had the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series at Husetts Speedway, we've never had super late models at Husetts.
Really?
And so this is going to be – this is uncharted territory tonight. And so for fans that are like, yeah, I don't know, yeah, you need to come out and check this thing out, because this is a first. I was pulling up some research yesterday, and you know, late models are a rare treat at Husetts. The last couple of years, we get the RepairableVehicles.com Tri-State Late Models, a regional series in our area, and if you run a super late model engine with them, you got to restrict it way down, which is a great rules package for that series.
Mm-hmm.
But we've not had super late models like this come in. You know, we've only had 11 late model races at Husetts Speedway since 1980. So
wow.
this is as I said, uncharted territory and going to be something very, very different for us tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, because you're going to have some of the best late model drivers in the country going to be running up there tonight. And I'm looking forward to on this. You know, it seems like to me, me and Austin were just talking about this prior to coming on to the air, that me personally, I think late models put on a better show when they're on a little track or a quarter-mile track or a third-mile track like what we have up at Huset's. Do you have a preference on a bigger track when it comes to late models versus a smaller track?
No, I think it's pretty universally true for dirt racing that the tight bull rings produce better racing, whether it's late models or sprint cars or B mods. I don't think it matters. I'm a fan of the bull rings. And so, you know, to see them here at Huset's, not only is it a tight racetrack, it's a little larger than a quarter mile right through the middle. It measures out at like 0.272. So at the bottom, you're at a quarter mile. But not only is Huset's a tight racetrack for size, but it's narrow. And so you put late models on this racetrack. I mean, sprint cars, you see some three wide stuff at Huset's, and that's extremely tight. You put on late models, I mean, in comparison, it's like a school bus out there. And I don't say that to be mean to the late model.
No,
guys,
I get it.
Cars are just so much bigger than what Huset's usually sees. So you put them out there. There's not going to be a lot of room for error in this race tonight. So, you're absolutely right. You put the world's best in this discipline of racing on a tight racetrack like this. You're going to face traffic. And, even if you start on the front row, it's not going to be an easy one tonight, I would say.
Yeah. Well, Sean, let me just say this, that when you talk about late model racing, and again, Austin and I were talking about it in our first segment, that I believe the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series is the premier division when it comes to late model racing. You see all the money that's being thrown around in the late model world right now with XR, the World of Outlaws, the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series. There's a lot of money in late model racing right now, isn't there?
Absolutely. And, you know, 10 grand to win tonight, That's no chump change, and for them to come in here on a Tuesday night and be running for that. But yeah, it's really impressive. I'll admit, I'm a late model world outsider. I'm mostly in the sprint car game. That's what we run weekly around here. So that's where my attention is mostly focused. But I don't think you can be a dirt fan and not take note of what's going on in the late model world right now with all the money that is up there and continually up for grabs for these late model racers. And, you know, on the flip side of that too, I think we've seen an effect. We've got some modified racing in our area. And I think we've seen the effect of the late model world on the regional modified scene here, where guys are looking at their modifieds and going, you know, I can race around here regionally for X number of dollars, or for equal money or a little bit more, I can put a late model together and go race regionally and then go hit these big dollar shows. And so the late model world is pretty wild right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be really cool to watch it over the next couple of years and see what transpires, because you got some new players in the game and there's a lot of money out there for these teams.
The Tri-State late models will be running up there as well tonight. Tell me a little bit about them.
Well, they're kind of an interesting series. They're based out of the Sioux Falls area, and what's interesting about them is there's no weekly late model racing within the Sioux Falls market around our area. And so, I don't know, maybe a little shy of 10 years ago, there was a little surge of late models here in the Sioux Falls area, just some guys that wanted to get it going. And so they created what was called the Midwest Late Model Series. Obviously, that created some confusion.
Right.
So it was rebranded a couple of years ago as the Tri-State Late Model Series. And Mike Gross leads that series. He does a fantastic job. They've got well over 20 races around the area, all within a couple hours of Sioux Falls this year. But the problem is, what do you do when you're right in the middle? You've got late models to our north, west, south, and east, but none in our area. So what do you do? And the drivers that are the faithful ones to the series and Mike, who leads the series, they've all come together, put together a pretty cool rules package that I like to call it a if this, then that rules package. You know, if you're going to run this kind of motor, you got to do this with weight and this with the spoiler.
Right.
If you're going to run option B, then you got to do this and that.
Right.
And it's worked really well around here to produce really quality late model racing, whether you're, you know, coming into a Huset Speedway or going out to the middle of South Dakota to the big half mile at Miller Central Speedway or going up into Wasota territory in Minnesota, which they do too. It's been quality where, you know, Wasota cars can compete with the SLMR cars from down in Nebraska. And it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, we're visiting with Sean Neustadt. He's the voice of Huset Speedway. I want to talk a little bit about what Todd Quarian has meant to that racetrack, bringing it back to life. You know, it set there, what was it, shut down in 07, 08? Or what year was that shut down?
Huset closed down. We had one race in 2017.
Right.
And then it was closed down after that. We did not race here 2018 or 2019. And Todd come along, bought the facility in 2020, and we had a handful of races there late in the year.
Yeah. A lot of people need to be very thankful that Todd Quarian is willing to spend the money on a track like Jackson and a track like Huset's and make them top quality facilities. I've traveled, you know, with the Luxor ASCS National Sprint Car Tour for 13 years up and down the road, and I've been to a lot of racetracks. And there's only one track that I would consider that's in the same category as Huset's and Jackson, and that's Lucas Oil Speedway. It's, you know, the diamond of dirt tracks down there. But Todd Quarian has really invested in motorsports, and people need to be thankful for that, don't they?
Absolutely. He didn't have to do what he did.
Right.
He had Jackson. And Jackson is a fantastic place, and he puts on the Jackson Nationals, which are becoming a crown jewel event again in the 410 sprint car world. And he didn't have to come over to Huset Speedway. He could have said, let the place sit, let it go, and Jackson will become the lead racetrack in our region. And instead, he made the investment, and he came in, got Huset Speedway going, and he didn't have to come back to weekly racing.
Right.
People said he was crazy. When they announced in 2021, last year, we were going to go back to weekly racing on Sunday nights with 410 sprint cars. People, the immediate reaction was, great, where are the cars going to come from? Because all of the local teams had sold, almost all of the local teams had sold their 410 engines because all we had going for sprint car racing at the time in the area were the IMCA sprint cars and our MSTS 360 sprint car tour throughout the region. So why have a 410 sprint car sitting or 410 engine sitting in your shop?
Right.
But they came back, they put together a weekly package payout, a points payout, that structure that worked and got the attention of drivers. And boom, here we had teams right away. We had 1 week in 2021 where I think the car count, I think we had 16. And all of a sudden, everybody acted like the sky was falling. And it was like, hold on, guys.
Right.
If we've got 16 410 sprint cars, compared to the rest of the world, we're sitting pretty good here. Because
that's
there's true. Not a lot of places. You can go see 16 410 sprint cars. And then the next week, we had 25. And it was like, okay, everyone relax.
Right.
And so, you know, to see how successful the weekly shows have been again this year, everybody this last week, you know, the Kings Royal was going on and we had just had the High Bank Nationals here and everyone's gearing up for Knoxville and everyone was, you know, kind of, you know, are we going to have any cars tonight? Are we going to be low on cars? We had 23 410 sprint cars show up
Perfect.
This last Sunday night. Where else can you go, you know, outside of the big ones like Knoxville where, you know, Knoxville's Knoxville, but where else are you going to go and see that kind of quality racing, that kind of quality cars on a weekly basis? It's incredible what we're experiencing here now in Brandon, South Dakota.
Well, let me tell you something. You got a nice point battle going on up there with 410 sprint cars. Matt Jewell's leading the Justin Henderson by 5 points. Austin McCarl is 10 points behind. Brooke Tacknell is 25 points behind. Jack Dover, 29 points behind. That's a hell of a point race up there.
Sounds fun, doesn't it?
We've
only got 5 points races left for our 410 sprints, so it's going to come down to the wire here. It did last year, too. You know, Henderson got out front last year in the points and never really gave it up, but he had Carson McCarl and Jack Dover breathing down his neck all year, and he had led the talking about Henderson, he had led the points pretty much all year this year. Had a little struggle in his heat race this past week, and boom, Matt Jewell right there capitalizes, goes out front. So,
right,
yeah, handful of races to go this year. It's going to be fun to watch.
You know, it's such a unique situation for people that want to run 410 sprint cars in that area, right? They run on Jackson Friday night, Knoxville Saturday night, and Houston's on Sunday. That's a nice combination of three tracks to run, right?
It really is, but Jackson doesn't run 410s all that often throughout the year. We had a special over there a couple weeks ago. Earlier this month, the weekend before the High Bank Nationals, teamed up with NOSA out of North Dakota and ran there Friday and Saturday.
Oh, I see.
But there's only a couple 410 races a year at Jackson. Of course, they'll have the Jackson Nationals coming up in August, which is, you know, just kind of a whole different ballgame with the World of Outlaws. So you actually have a lot of teams in our area. We'll run Friday night up in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And a lot of people, I think, around the country go, oh, well, Grand Forks, North Dakota, Brandon, South Dakota, Dakota, they got to be pretty close together. But it's like a five-hour jaunt,
right,
between Grand Forks and Brandon. If you're you know, really cruising along, if you're pulling a trailer, it's probably more than that. And then to get down to Knoxville, if you're going to do that on Saturdays, is another 5 hours. So,
right.
There's a lot of miles put on by these teams if they want to run three nights a week. A lot of them are running two. You know, they'll either run Grand Forks Friday and Houston Sunday, or Knoxville Saturday and Houston Sunday. But it's not easy to get around this part of the country. Like,
right,
you know, Pennsylvania is really blessed. They've got some racetracks within a couple hours of each other. We just don't have that here. But yet our teams are doing it. And, you know, we're blessed to be between Knoxville and Grand Forks and be able to share cars between those three tracks.
Am I mistaken? Did they run 410s weekly at Jackson last year? Did they?
No. They ran more 410 shows over there, probably the 2015, 2016 time frame.
I gotcha.
And then it's kind of rolled back a little bit. I think we had like 9 or 10 360 shows at Jackson last year, and a handful of 410 shows as well. But there's just not a lot of 410 shows over there. And I think probably, and this, you know, I'm not the business guy making the decisions, but it's a pretty tough market on a Friday night in Jackson, Minnesota, which is, I think, what, 3,000 people over there.
Right.
And you're an hour and a half from Sioux Falls. It's just kind of tough to do on a Friday night, and you're not going to mess with Knoxville on a Saturday. So I understand it, but the 410 shows they've had this year, when Knoxville wasn't racing that weekend on Saturday, they had the NOSA series in for Friday, Saturday night action. It was actually Houston's points over there, really well attended and really good racing over there too. So, but yeah, when we get to see the 360s on Friday nights, like we just did this past week, over there, and we've got another one coming up later this month in Jackson. They've been fantastic races with the 360s over there.
Yeah. I got to ask you a little bit about how is the repairs coming on to the facility? You know, obviously the tornado. Did they call it a tornado, or was it straight line winds? Did they ever make a decision on that?
You know, I think the last thing I saw was straight line winds, but, you know, tomato, same
right.
difference.
Yeah.
The repairs are coming along pretty well. So the big giant building that sits atop the racetrack at Houston's, if you've seen the pictures, basically the bottom level is concessions, bathrooms, beer stand, that kind of stuff. The middle level is VIPs, and then that's where our announce room is and scoring and whatnot. And then the very top level is all VIP suites as well. The middle level right now is open. So where we're at, we're good. There was some water damage on our level, and I think they'll be addressing that probably when our race season's done. The top level remains closed. That's where the roof flew off. and there was significant damage up there. And to get the work done middle of the year right now, just probably not going to make sense. So they've got a roof on the building, you know, so if it rains, we're not getting wet down on our level again.
Right.
So that's good. The people who had the VIPs across the top, they're utilizing the other VIP locations throughout the facility. We've got that big tower down in turn four, the big tower down in turn one that's been there, you know, since the 90s. And so they've got options and they can sit in the stands. You know, we've got great seating in our stands too. But I think when the year is done, I think they're going to assess everything and decide where they need to go. I've heard a couple of times we're going to get a new announcing and scoring suite, which is desperately needed because when we were the previous owner didn't really think about us when everything was built up there and we were an afterthought and we split one of the suites. And it's a tight fit when you've got a series come in and whatnot. So that'll be really cool to see next year. And then I think they're going to assess the entire building up there and, you know, how can we best serve the patrons who utilize the VIP suite up top. And so I expect to see, you know, additional remodeling going on up there once our season wraps up here at the beginning of September. And I'm really looking forward to see what we have in place come May of 2023 up top.
Yeah, man, I really enjoyed you and Johnny together. You're going to work with James Essick tonight, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I'm working with James tonight, which is cool because I've never met the man. He's never had a reason to be here. And I've been to limited super late model shows in my life. So really looking forward to meeting him. Love listening to his work on MAV TV and now on MAV TV or on Flow. I'm looking forward to meeting him today.
Right.
Some point. I think I'm working until 3:30. I've got a meeting on my calendar. Like, come on, people, this is race day here. What do you need from me at my real job?
But right.
Looking forward to being part of the show tonight.
Well, Sean, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Tonight's going to be a big night. We're all looking forward to watching it tonight. It's going to be good. I'm so excited about it. I'm just kind of giddy about it, to be honest with you, because I think it's going to be some great late model racing up there. $10,000 to win, and I believe it is $800 to start tonight. It's going to be a good show, and I'm looking forward to hearing your lovely pipes on the air tonight. So it's going to be good, man. Thanks for taking the time. We hope that we can have you on in the future right here on Mostly Motorsports.
Hey, looking forward to it. Thanks for the kind words. Enjoy the show tonight and be thankful that you don't have to be a crew member straightening sheet metal at some point tonight. I think there'll be plenty of that.
Sheet metal is the key word right there, bud. All right, buddy. Thank you so much, Sean. Appreciate you. And there you have it. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more of Mostly Motorsports in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Spirit Specialty Sportswear, in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I'm Scott. He's Austin. Big weekend. Silver Dollar Nationals going on this weekend up at I-80. Austin is going to be running up there. Austin, you looking forward to getting up there and running this weekend? Is I-80 become your favorite track lately?
I guess some people could say it is.
I mean, you do pretty good up there.
Yeah, it's just worked for what our package is. I mean, I don't have, my engine package is pretty good for our regional stuff around here, and usually when we get to the half mile stuff, it kind of shows its weaknesses, but. I-80 is a half mile, and I guess just the way the shape of the track is, the way it's kind of laid out, that it fits what I have, and we can run pretty good. So our maxims are working pretty well right now. I still got a couple things I think I could do to make them better, but we'll kind of get to that point down the road. But yeah, I mean, I think we've had some good runs and have to carry some confidence in tomorrow night.
If somebody is up there in the Greenwood, Nebraska area that would like to come down and maybe buy a tire or two, you'd let them, would you?
You can buy me a tire. You can give me $20 to go to the car wash.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, or even buy a T-shirt. I mean,
right.
It's every little penny, every dollar, helps out a small family-owned team. I mean, it's even the big teams that run with the Outlaws, that stuff is what gets them up and down the road. So yeah, anytime you can support a driver and a team, it's really greatly appreciated.
Yeah. How many cars you think is going to be up there this weekend?
I'm going to say 30.
And you say 30, why would you say 30? Because they have kind of a built-in area of cars up in that market, don't they? They've got a few of those cars that are up there racing right now.
Yeah, so there's, from the past two times I've been up there, there's been 15 cars that have been to both shows. So I you can count on 15 or so of them to show up for this race. And then, you know, I've talked to a couple of people that have committed to coming that don't race there weekly. I know Ayrton Jeniton's going to go. Riley Goodenough's going to go. And a couple other cars kind of from the Knoxville area that might be committing to go. And I mean, it pays $5,000 to win. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good payday, and it's in kind of a sprint car-ish area. It's, you know, Nebraska is well known for sprint car racing, and it's not too far from Iowa. So I would not be surprised to see some Knoxville regulars just make the pull over on a Wednesday night to come run and still have enough time to turn around for Knoxville. But yeah, it's if it didn't pay $300 to win, I wouldn't count on having you know that many cars there. But yeah, that big payday really helps bring some cars in.
David, he's kind of critical of us here a little bit. He said, stop picking I-70 apart. It is what it is. Go ahead on. Have we been picking on I-70?
No, we've just been critiquing it. We don't.
I don't think we've been hard on I-70 at all.
Not at all. And I might, no. If I come across that I'm critical of them, I'm not at all. I'm just speaking what we can do to make it even better for what circumstances they're in.
I think I just mentioned that I think Tommy Estes is figuring out the dirt and it's getting better because that late model race was the best race I've seen out there at I-70 to this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And there's nothing negative about that, right?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, we could be talking, you know, a lot worse about it, but we haven't. I mean, there's nothing really to talk bad about the place. It's just we talk, you know, every track has their strengths and their weaknesses, and we got to talk about both of them. And it's doesn't matter if it's Knoxville Raceway or I-70 or the hole in the wall, you know, in the middle of the woods in Kentucky. So, yeah, it's just talking about racetracks and what they offer.
All I'm saying is that if you know anything about me personally, I-70 Speedway is my favorite racetrack that I raced at. And no, I know it's not the same racetrack. I get that. It's not the same place. It's similar, but it's not the same. And that's where I grew up. I was at I-70 Speedway on opening day in 1969 with my dad. I raced there for about 15 years. I won my share of races there. I held qualifying records. That place, it means everything to me. So for anybody to think that I would rag on I-70 Speedway doesn't know me personally. That place means everything to me, and I hope it's there for years and years and years to come. I don't know where anybody would think that I've been negative about I-70 Speedway. Because there's two tracks that mean everything. Well, three tracks, and one of them's gone now. Riverside Stadium, that was in Riverside, Missouri, just outside of downtown Kansas City. Lakeside Speedway, when it was pavement. And I-70 Speedway. Those were my three tracks. When I was growing up, those are the tracks that I went to every week. I'd go to Lakeside on Friday nights, go to Riverside on Saturday nights, and when I-70 run on Sundays, I would go out to I-70 on Sundays. So if anybody thinks anything, I love I-70 Speedway. So, David, you're wrong. I love that place as much as anybody. And your dad was one of the best ever to ever race at I-70 Speedway. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple people that come to mind when it comes to late model racing out there. John O'Neill Jr., Larry Phillips, and Jeff Klim. Those were the guys. And back in the early days, Terry Bivens, Dave Wall, Freddie Whistler. Those guys were studs back in those days. Those are in the 70s. But I don't think we've been hard on I-70 at all.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't know. Tommy is watching and making things happen. I'm totally for Tommy. I think Tommy is doing I think he's figuring it out. Caleb said, every show that happens, Tommy is watching and making things happen. I agree with you.
Look at the last two tracks Tommy's worked at. Dodge City, which
right.
has pavement under it, and dirt on top of it, and it's in the middle of western Kansas where your average temperature all summer long is like 105, 110 degrees. So, you know, not prime conditions for dirt track racing, and he made it work.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's coming over here where they haven't raced hardly at all. It's new dirt, it's a new facility, and it's a new program, and it just takes time to figure it all out. And, you know, like I said, look at his last two tracks he's been at, and look where he's put them. So just a matter of time before it gets, you know, really good.
Yeah. I want to remind everybody, tomorrow we're going to have the 39th annual Kings Royal winner, Brent Marks, is going to join us tomorrow on the show. Confirmed that with him yesterday. He's going to hang out with us. Steve said, how about Tiger Bob Williams winning the World Cup at I-70 in a stock car? I don't remember that, to be honest with you. But Tiger Bob Williams is one of the great racers of Kansas City. I mean, there's a lot of great. Kansas City, I don't know if people realize it, but back in the day, up at Knoxville, it was Kansas City versus the Knoxville guys, right? And they didn't like the Weld family coming up there and racing against the guys that ran up there weekly at Knoxville. And a lot of guys, Ray Lee Goodwin, there was a lot of guys from Kansas City that went up there and took the money up at Knoxville. It's a great rivalry back in the day, the Kansas City drivers versus the Knoxville drivers. You probably don't remember that, though, Austin.
Way
before your time. The real question is the dirt on I-70 from Ohio, because it sure dust like an Ohio dirt track.
You got that right.
It does dust up a little bit, doesn't it?
From what I was told, it came from somewhere in the county. It's not there under the
Lafayette
pavement.
County.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like yellow dirt. It's weird. It reminds me of, one, Ohio, but also the yellowness in it of the Des Moines Mile in Illinois.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Another show in the books. What is today's episode? 130 what?
I think 134, 135.
134, 135. So we're cranking them out here at Mostly Motorsports. We're going to do over 312 shows this year, just so you know. We've done the math on it. 312 shows that we're going to do in 2022. That's a lot of shows, isn't it, Austin? 312 shows.
That's quite a few.
That is a few. I don't know if anybody else is cranking out that many, but we are right here at RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. All right, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. For my partner, Kirk Elliott, for Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor, saying we'll see you tomorrow. Brett Marks is going to join us. He's the winner of the 39th annual Kings Royal. He'll join us tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.